The podcast you are about to listen to discusses comic books and comic book related media. Be warned, the following will review art, plot, and themes, and will therefore contain spoilers of the materials discussed. Welcome to Comics League International. This is episode 34 of Comics League International. I am Brent, your ever-smiling host, and once again, I've got Lydia as a guest. Hey, Lydia, how you doing?
Hello, I'm waving, if you can.
I can almost hear it. Okay. So, Lydia and I are both in the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and... Yes. I think that's one thing we should just get out of the way is, oh man, why does it have to get all dreary for the weekends again? We had some sun and sunshine during the week, and now that it's Saturday, it's just miserable weather.
Yeah, it's raining outside, actually. Is it raining at your side?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and okay. we don't live close to each other. We just got a big storm front that's coming through and saying, like, oh, you're just going to miserable weather pretty much all weekend. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't tune in to this show for talk about Tokyo weather, then you tuned into the wrong station. I don't know.
Yeah, we are going to talk about weather and maybe some insects.
I like it.
I've got the insect on my tablet.
Oh, man. See... That would have been kind of neat because like there's we read Ant-Man and we're both reading digital copies of it, right. and I just thought like if they had kind of done it a little bit more, whereas you're flipping through every now and then it just kind of looked like there was an ant on the screen, that would have either been great or awful. I really don't know which, but
right, yes. I mean, if they did it for like the digital copies where you like you kind of go like this and then you realize that hey, there's an ant moving right
just right there, and you tried to brush it off, but then the picture changed, you had to go back. That could have been fun.
You listening to this, Marvel?
You know, there's probably some folks at Marvel saying like, no, it really doesn't pay to annoy your customer base with realistic looking ants on their machines. No one... You're just going to get someone throwing it down suddenly and being spooked and then suing us.
That's true.
So last time we read Annihilation, Conquest, right. Star-Lord.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, you said it was fun. You enjoyed it, but that, you know, I gave you something that was not exactly new reader friendly, which, I mean, it was in the middle of an event comic. So yeah, that's right. Kind of true. But this time we're going with Ant-Man, and this is the new Ant-Man, the relaunch in early 2015, not the current relaunch that's brand... Yeah. Lots of relaunches happening, but okay. I'm really curious to hear your thoughts on this one, because I feel... This comic is much more new reader friendly.
It definitely is. So starting from that, my introduction to Ant-Man, like any type of Ant-Man, was through the movies.
Still haven't seen it.
Right.
So don't spoil really the good. Movie yet. Don't spoil the movie.
I'm not going to spoil it.
I hear Paul Rudd is charming.
He is. He's very charming. And after watching... So I first watched the movies. I watched it in September when it... I think it was the first week of release in Japan. So that was when I went to watch it. And after watching it, you sent me the comics to read. And the The movie Ant-Man, the movie Ant-Man and the comics Ant-Man, they seem very similar, you know, character-wise.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That was really good. But I'm pretty sure you've heard this already, but the movie Ant-Man is a younger, you know, what's his name? Scott Lang.
Scott Lang.
So his daughter in the movie is very young. She's like, what, 4 or 5?
Really? I think.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, whereas, so when you sent me the comics, I was kind of expecting that Ant-Man, that Scott Lang. So, but to my surprise and later pleasure, I found out that this Ant-Man is so much more hilarious and like, I don't know, it's like, it's kind of like a version 2.0, you know, where he, this comics Ant-Man, he kind of like, becomes this person. He's so familiar with his Ant-Man self and his Scott Lang self, and that was a huge like motivator for me to continue reading.
Reading these comics here.
Yes, because it was like the movies told me how he was like when Cassie.
Yeah, Cassie. I forget Cassie. If it's short for Cassandra or Cassidy, but his daughter.
Yes, so it told me, you know, his story when she was a really young kid, and now she is a teenager and a very interesting teenager. They get the character development here was like really, really good. It was like the what happened after the movie, you know, it was like a sequel of sorts. So it was really cool for me, and the fact that it was kept so current, like, you know, with the all these references to modern technology with the LinkedIn and I think Facebook or something, and it was just very current.
Yeah, see, that these are all things that I thought like the comic did well. I think this comic, it did a great job of feeling very much in the present, and I think that goes a lot to. Let me make sure I get that. Yeah, this is it's Nick Spencer, the writer. With the artist Ramon Rosanes. Hopefully I'm saying that close enough to correct. And, you know, I think Spencer deserves a lot of credit here for kind of making this feel modern. Because sometimes, you know, with comic books, they do sometimes feel dated.
Yes.
Even when they're the brand piping new, they just don't feel like they're happening today. They feel like they're happening either in the far future or, you know...
Right.
Whenever that writer started writing.
Right.
And also I think like there's a lot of things about like both not only feeling kind of modern and new, but also making Ant-Man, making this version of Ant-Man feel like he has a history.
Yeah. Yeah. And they did do a good job of presenting his history. It wasn't just him talking about it. they showed they would constantly show scenes and have characters, you know, the characters' dialogue would tell you what, you know, they would reference his past, and that would give you a clue as to what his backstory would be.
So I mean, because Scott Lang, he's had a pretty long history in Marvel, and it's also kind of been a fairly convoluted history.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, and part of what this series is doing is it's both, like, kind of wiping the slate clean in a way, but it's also kind of letting, you know, established readers, here's the stuff that we're keeping in. And here's the stuff you kind of need to kind of care and remember about. But what it's doing that at the same time is letting new readers know that, like, here's his history. Here you go. Here's what you need to know to kind of feel what makes this character who he is, even though it is kind of a re-envisioning of Scott Lang.
I see.
Yeah.
Kind of knew that.
Yeah, I mean, it's very... I mean, for me, like... And I'm not going to pretend to be the biggest Scott Lang fan. I mean, I've kind of like seen him show up through things, and I'm currently reading the Iron Man comics where he made his early appearances, because old comics are fun. But even me having like a little bit, I do kind of feel like that slight little bit of dissonance of like, wait a minute, this is change. And like many comic book readers, I fear change. But it's so charmingly told. It's just charmingly told.
I see. I have no dissonance because it, I'm so new to this. And they really do a good job of, you know, bridging that movie and comics Scott Lang gap.
See, this is actually one of the things I was going to try and maybe save it for the wrap-up. But I think you can go ahead, and before we kind of start talking about the story, I think this is a valuable service that you can do for me, maybe for other older readers as well, or long-term readers as well. But this is just something I think you can tell us, is that, I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but I think maybe telling us sometimes, like, just that it's a good story, and we can just, you know, let the other aspects of it just not matter as much.
Right. It is. It's that as a standalone comic or story, it is really good. I mean, it was one of those comics that after I got to the last, I think it has 5 issues. Mm-hmm. So after I got to the last page of the last issue, I was like, wait a minute, where's the rest?
It's a conclusion, but it's a conclusion that really makes you want to go, there's going to be another issue, right?
Yeah.
Like it finishes the story, but it finishes in such a way where it's just begging for more issues.
Yeah. It's very original. Okay, but I say this, you know, again, very new to comics. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether people have done this already in Marvel, but it just felt very like the little touches, you know, with the reformed villains and reformed villains anonymous kind of, you know, their meetings and the battle royale thing that that the movie that Cass and her dad watched in a toy, you know, a scaled down toy house. You know, it was just very clever.
I love that part where he's like at the end of issue 1 where we're look, here is our new apartment. It is the scaled down toy house,
right? And using all these you know, tropes in this universe to their advantage and making a real engaging story out of it, you know, these 5 issues as a story, I think it's actually very strong material. Yes,
it's one of the things I liked about it. Is, you know, sometimes you have comics that feel like they're very character driven, and that, you know, spend so much time on looking at characters that they never quite seem to get around to telling a story. Or, you know, there's been a recent movement of kind of comics that like spend so much time on each and every little moment that, you know, they're written to be read in like 6-issue arcs or 8-issue arcs that tell very small stories, and each issue almost just feels like a spoonful. But I think this one, it does a great job of still giving us a great feeling of character and a great feeling of like who these people are, while also each issue both gives an installment of the overall story arc, but also feels like a satisfying story in and of itself.
Right. That's exactly right.
So, overall, what would you say, how would you describe the story of these 5 issues?
Thematically, family. It's very, it's just very relatable because It's about a dad. It's really at the. It all boils down to one major plot point, which is a dad trying to do his best for his daughter. And
yeah,
at the core of it all, that is, to me, it was very, very easy to relate to. And I don't know, I just really like the humor, like the fun, the way that, they could present every epic moment so funnily. Like the you know, moments with characters like Tony Stark and the Ant-Man not showing up. It was just very humorous. Even though a situation could be very grave, it was there was still a lot of humor in it.
Yeah, there, and I think not only Nick Spencer, but the art by Ramon Rosanes, I love this art style. Just, you know, the way, because even those little, the little panel, like when we talk about Tony Stark and the humor in there, even the moment where he's like, and see, Tony Stark, he's my friend, he'll support me. And they have the picture of the billboard with the, I'd hire him. And it's just that shot of Tony Stark being like, Sue. And it's the pacing of that scene and the way it goes, even though that's just one quick panel, I don't know, it just feels like that Rosanes does a great job of making you stop right there in that panel and give it that like television beat of Sue. And then you move on to the relatively fast paced story. It's just such great cartooning.
Exactly. Yes.
And then, so, and also they do a great job of making use of the reformed villains. So it's like, there's definitely the theme of family, and then I kind of think like underneath it, there's that theme of like second chances.
Right. You know, not only with the villains, but Mrs. Morgenstern, you know,
the doctor.
She was the he was going to be in this comic. Scott Lang wanted to open the security company, and he wanted a loan. And I think Mrs. Morgenstern was the head of the bank.
Yes. With the Nazi gold and the.
Yes, and you know there was that rogue robot, right?
With all the different stuff, I forgot there was a chapter about Nazi gold.
And I was so surprised because I'm thinking she must have a backstory too. And you know, there was this this panel which I really liked, which was very similar to that Tony Stark Sue one, which is so Scott Lang was going to leave the bank after helping them avert a very grisly situation with the with the robot, and Mrs. Morgenstern asked him to stop, and she gave him the loan. And said that she'll invest in his company, 50-50 partners. And then she said, Riedos like us, we got to stick together. And he was like, what do you mean like us? And she said, oh, come on, sweetheart. Who do you think trapped that thing there in the first place? And I was like, oh, it's like epic.
You know what? And I hope you take this as a compliment, but hearing you read those words, I really want her to have your accent now. I really do. It just adds that whole other like feel to it of like, I'm not even going to say it because I'll just screw it up, but it adds that other little like, wait a minute, you're not just some old white woman. You've done some stuff.
Yeah, thank you. I'll take that. Yeah, and that was one of my favorite. Like, I love these type of things, like these second chances type of things, you know. And Mrs. Morgenstern looks very interesting. That's why. That's another thing why I'm looking forward to the next arc, because I hope she's in it. I want to know who she is and what she is.
I gotta pick. I'm really glad that you enjoyed the movie. enough to kind of make me be like, well, maybe we should read this together, because I'll be honest, like, the first issue, which was a really strong first issue, but I had that, like, fanboy in me of like, I mean, this is kind of, it's not Scott, his daughter's kind of older, like, she was, you know, she was dead, like, a moment ago, and now she's back, and then, but, like, when she come back, I don't even, oh, it happened in there, but, I mean, she was older, she was like a superhero and stuff, blah, all this stuff that doesn't matter. Right. It's just, you know, it kind of, like, getting those thoughts in my head just kind of did not help me enjoy the story. Mm-hmm. And it's not like some of the stories I was even talking about were stories that I found particularly good anyway. Mm-hmm. Some of them were, but the most recent is but in this, it's just so much fun. So kind of reading it, because you're like, the movie was good. Mm-hmm. Just, oh, it's such fun issues.
Right. And another thing that I was, what did not happen in the movie, so I hope this doesn't turn out as a spoiler for you. Cass, she had no PIM particles in her body in the movie. So when I read that, you know, at some point in time in the past, she had the PIM particles. It helped me kind of like fill in the blanks a bit. You know, from movie Scott Lang and comic, this comic Scott Lang, and maybe what happened in between, because I haven't read anything prior to this Ant-Man. So, you know, it also kind of explained the science to me a little bit. Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's, and some of those, like, I read, and then I just kind of let it flow through my head a little bit, you know, like, oh yeah, she's got PIM particles. I kind of knew that because, like I said, she was a superhero that, you know, she basically grew really big. I don't think she ever did the ant powers, but I know she grew really tall. And then they're like, yeah, we need this because of blah 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 science. I'm like, cool, science, gotcha, all right. Because someone's a doctor and they need science. Ooh, look, it's a guy in a grizzly outfit. That's awesome. Just a schmo in a grizzly outfit talking about stuff while they're eating.
Right.
And convenience store food.
The way he appeared was like, where's Ant-Man? I'm going to make you pay. And then he's like, oh, sorry, wrong person.
Just what I like about that is, again, this goes to both Spencer and Rosanas, is, and I'm just already feeling we get like an email from like, you don't know how to say that name at all. But of just, even though the Grizzly, it's a ridiculous character. I mean, it's fun, but it's absolutely ridiculous. It's one of the things that make comics book great, is here's a guy in a grizzly outfit, but his face is showing. But for those first little introductions of him, he comes off pretty threatening, you know, all things considered. And it's just fun.
It is. There's a lot of, you know, these contrasts within the books, and like, you have this guy bursting, and then a few issues down, you have the grizzly guy. I don't remember what's his name. I can't remember.
Grizzly.
Really?
Okay. The Grizzly's guy. Comics are wonderful. This is why comics are wonderful. What's the Grizzly guy's name?
Grizzly. Okay.
Like, probably because Bear Man was taken already.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. I'm just guessing. But it's
Grizzly. Yeah. So he was like just sitting with Scott, and I think they were in a diner or something, and he was still in that suit. No, I had always thought that he would change out of his suit, but then, and as he explained later, that it's actually part of his skeleton or something.
Yeah, so, like bonded on.
Right. That those contrasts, you know, where I'm gonna make pay and everything is like, and then suddenly they're in a diner talking about life.
And there's something about line, like, it's humorous, but there's also like something like there's a pathos to it about him. And this is in issue two, where he's like, yeah, I've tried going straight before a bunch of times. Yeah. Nobody wants to hire an ex-con in a bear suit exoskeleton.
Right.
And then there's this, like, the kind of, I don't know, like, inevitableness of his, like, you know, when he's saying, like, it'll be a month before I'm in some gang taking orders from Count Nefaria or Hammerhead or whoever. And then, you know, it's just like, this is what I got to do. This is how I have, this is my only option, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a good way of doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And the fact that I feel like that I didn't catch all of the references, I just assumed, but there was a lot of name dropping going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right. And
like even right there, I mean, Count Nefaria, Hammerhead. Mm-hmm. I mean, right. We got like a Major League Spider-Man villain, and Count Nefaria has been like mostly Avengers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have been used recently, maybe not as much, but mm-hmm. It was just kind of like, there's a big world out there.
Right.
And Grizzly has totally been one of those characters who, like, when they just need to pad the roster of, like, heroes, go fight those villains.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you'll have, like, the heroes going in and just a wave of villains attacking. Grizzly would be, like, the guy who's, like, third from the left. Who's, like, like, where his only dialogue would be something like, "Oh, get him! Oh, you punched me in my face!" Like, that would be his entire point. Like, he probably had one issue where he was like, "I'm the star of this," and then
right.
Background fodder for the rest of it.
Yeah. But so I feel like actually his role here is actually very substantial.
Yeah,
like he's the link to a lot of things, which is really funny.
And I left these issues. And I mean, admittedly, I want to see more Scott Lang. I'd love to see more of the history of I'm so terrible at names. I've already forgotten it. Ms. Markovsky.
Morgenstern.
Morgenstern. Dang it!
Right.
Do your homework, Brent. you know, I want to see that backstory. Like, I'd love to have that told.
Yeah, me too.
But also, I'm going like, you know what I really want? I want to get to know this Grizzly guy a little bit
more.
Like, that's...
He really wants to change, you know. You can tell, like, in the fourth issue, he actually puts his arm around Scott Lang and goes like, "Boss, hey, easy, we'll get her back." So cute. And he introduced, what's his name? Machine Smith. They're in the same support group, and I'm like, "What?" And Machine Smith, they met him at the kid's birthday party. Oh my, that gave some really good dialogue there.
Yeah.
I really like
that.
Yeah, Machine Smith.
There was, and this was Nick Spencer as well. There was, if you've enjoyed this, he did another comic recently. I think it lasted about almost 20 issues, like somewhere between 15 and 20. I can't remember the last one. Called The Superior Foes of Spider-Man.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, Spider-Man's a character who just has a lot of Grizzly-esque villains.
Oh.
Of just kind of villains that are mostly forgettable. Superior Foes of Spider-Man took a lot of those villains and just, hey, we're gonna make them the stars of a comic book. There you go.
Oh, they did that too, huh?
Yeah, and it's a very different feeling, because whereas this is like, you know, both Machine Smith and Grizzly kind of want to go straight. Not so much with the Superior Foes, but it was still that kind of like, here's some B-listers that we're going to kind of pay credit to their past, kind of tweak them a little bit, make it really earthy and entertaining. So I think if you kind of like the tone of this, Superior Foes would also be another book you or the listeners, if they haven't checked it out yet, would really get a kick out of. And it's also Nick Spencer.
Okay. The Superior Foes of Spider-Man. Yeah, I really do like all these, like, minor characters come together and, I don't know, do stupid stuff. Like, like a support group. That is the first time I came across something like that was in the Disney movie Wreck-It Ralph, and they had this like Villains Anonymous or something. And hi, my name is Ralph. Hi, Ralph. I don't know. That was, and like Pac-Man was there.
those scenes were some of my favorite parts of the movie. Where it, like, yeah, there's a plot. Sure. I just want to see these characters try and be those characters.
Right. And I feel like that vibe came across really strong here. You know, just these characters trying to make things right. And even Scott Lang, he's star of the series, but he's just really struggling. He seems to do things wrong a lot.
Yes, that definitely in these comics he comes off, and that's also something that to be fair to comic book dumb. Mm-hmm. You know, D-O-M, not D-U-M-B, but one of the things I think that did, I heard some criticism about this book, and I kind of felt it, not as strong as Scott Lang fans, was the past, like, couple of years, Scott Lang has been used a lot more, and a lot more effectively. I mean, his last big thing was kind of a leader of a replacement group for the Fantastic Four. And he was their leader for it. So he just kind of came off that. And then to almost be like, he is a washed up schlub trying to get through. And I think that kind of turned off some of the Scott Lang fans. Because it's like character growth. He's got it together. And now he's kind of either back to or getting cast as a, I can't get anything right.
And
that, you know, troubled some of the more long-term fans. It doesn't take away from the charm of this story, but it's kind of one of those curves you got to get used to being thrown if you start reading more and more comic books. Any moment now, your favorite hero could suddenly get like tossed in a martini shaker and just new take on him.
I see. Or, I think. But I don't know, but I feel that despite him getting into a lot of trouble in this one, he managed to solve most of his problems, and he just tries really hard. He's very creative with the way he solves his problems. Like, you know, it's almost, not that he's not human, but it's almost like you could see yourself maybe on a different scale and in a different situation solving problems in your life, like Scott Lang does as well.
No, it does. Yeah, it definitely has that kind of, I mean, it's, I want to use inspirational, but I kind of almost don't, because it almost feels too earthy to be inspirational, but maybe that's why it succeeds. It kind of feeling like, we can do this.
Right. And, like, the biggest thing that I'm looking at that comes to mind right now was two things. One was when his first job for his security company was when they received this paperclip thing, I think. And things went wrong there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm allowed to give spoilers.
Oh, do it. Yeah. We're gonna have some spoilers, because one of the things I want to talk about is basically a spoiler for the entire five issues. But please, paperclips.
So, I can't really. I'm on the wrong page right now, so I can't see it. But the paperclips. Oh, okay, I remember. They came together to form an obstacle for his. Yeah. Ant, like the real flying ants, the ant army. Mm-hmm. And then because they could, you know, disintegrate into small paper clips, it rendered the ant army ineffective. Yeah. And that was like, in Japanese, they say pinchi, P pinchy. Cotton, right? What is, yeah. Where is that from? Is that from English? The cotton, a pinch?
I think it's from, like, baseball?
Okay.
Like, so, where you got the person stuck between, like, one, for, like, the two bases. I think that's, like, a pinch, I think.
So, in so, that was the word for Scott Lang for me when I was reading the comics. Mm-hmm. I was like, ah! Scott Pinch! But you know, he would always overcome it. That was one, that was the paperclip thing was one thing that really stood out. And you know what? Because I think it's really good writing. I mean, how do you think of this? You create this ant army, and then you have to think, you know, about how you can
take out an ant army.
Yeah, yeah. And that whole paperclip thing was ingenious.
It really is. And it's one of those things that, like, it's deceptively simple.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, of course, yeah. You've got, like, you know, thousands of ants coming at you, and you're in a paper, go to a paperclip factory and use magnets, and you got suddenly thousands of paper. Duh.
Yeah.
Like, wait, that, huh? Oh, yeah. Right. That's really smart.
Yeah,
but
it fits in with the whole, like, you know, Ant-Man kind of. He's not like on this really big technology-ish.
Yeah. Where am I going? Yeah.
They're not that scale, you know.
No.
So it really fit in with the whole story as well.
It did. I. Yeah, I really like the tone of it and how everything fits, and I mean, just every page I flip to. As we're talking about this, it's just each page just looks gorgeous to me. Mm. I know I've complimented the art, and it's safe to say that, like, I'm a sucker for this kind of where it's that kind of, to me, a great balance between cartoony but also slightly realistic and just really expressive art.
Right.
Now, the one thing that I keep kind of coming and going on of, and this is kind of the wrap up of these of this 5-issue arc, is the very end where it's kind of the last 4 or 5 pages where he seems to be deciding, to no longer be in his daughter's life.
Right. And that was was surprising. I was really, you know, through the entire story, that's the entire story. He wants to be with Cassie. He's a great dad. They're so funny together. And the fact that he decided to walk away was like, on one hand, I felt that, oh no, why are you giving up? But I kind of see it as well. You know, they did a really good job of showing his backstory. So, you know, since she was little, he put her in a lot of dangerous positions, and his ex-wife, Peggy, that's why she's so antagonistic towards him.
Yeah.
That there are very valid reasons, so it kind of tore me apart inside.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, like, because it's kind of one of those things. I see those reasons, but then again, I don't know. There's something about, like, and who knows? Maybe because I know the new series has restarted, and it's kind of the same creative team, I believe. So maybe they've already addressed it in a way that puts it all together nicely, but something about those final 4 pages just, you know, they feel like the wrong ending. Like, it just kind of feels like it was, like, slapped in there to be like, we don't really want him to have the daughter baggage in there. Because it just almost kind of flies into the face of what the series seem to be about,
you know, right.
Like, you know, the family and the second chances, and this this ending kind of, to me, feels like, yeah, you might get a second chance, but really, you probably don't deserve it and you should just stay away.
Right.
Seems to be the message I'm getting from this. I mean, let me know if you're getting a different take, but
No, I actually do feel the same way, which is why when I got to the last page, I'm like, what? This is it? How can this be it?
Yeah. And I mean, who knows? Maybe you know, in the letters column, it has the next issue, Ant-Man Annual Number 1.
Right.
So it continues, and who knows? Maybe Ant-Man Number 1 is like, boy, it's a good thing I've decided to continue being a part of my family. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it could be, but for this arc, it's just kind of like, oh, well, that doesn't feel like the right decision.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know. And then just to kind of like look at it through like a comic book lens, well, actually, it sounds like the villains were, you know, maybe the Pym particles, which is something you did to your daughter. I'm not exactly sure in this new continuity, like what the exact ins and outs were, but she's got them and the villains were after her for that. But if you weren't there, they also would have taken her heart, like, and she would not have gotten it back.
Right.
So,
yeah. I don't know how. I mean, the last. I see that the last issue was supposed to be like dramatic and offer a lot of. I mean, it would be the catalyst, you know, for his decision to leave his daughter, because it just felt like one of the most dangerous things. It's always been. My impression of Ant-Man was always him being separated from his daughter, and not his daughter actually dying, because I haven't read the previous one. It just, I don't know. This one felt very final. It the fact that she almost died and lost her heart, and maybe, you know, dying twice.
The
second time would deliver a blow that was fatal enough for him to decide that, okay, I'm done with this. I'm not going to put her in any danger. I felt that was like a setup, you know?
Yeah.
For that decision. So.
And with this, you know, if with the way this issue ends, even as much as I said, like, it could have been reversed in the annual that's coming up or the beginning of this new series. The way these five issues end, it kind of feels like if it is just a simple reversal, that it would almost feel like a disservice to how this was written.
Yeah, because of what it was built on.
I agree. I mean, all in all, like I said, like, you know, I've been singing the praises of this, so it's just, you know, it's a shame that like the very final 3-4 pages kind of made me go like, oh, I don't know about that.
To me, it was, if it ended like that, I'm so going to read the next one.
Oh, definitely.
No, because I want Cassie to remain in Scott's life, and I'm hoping, I'm like, you know, hoping for that. So that's gonna happen.
I mean, that was basically it. Like, I came to this, and like you said, I gotta get the next issue. I gotta find out where this story's going.
All right. Which is a bit, if you think about it, it's a bit underhand. Like, you know how when you watch a TV drama and then and it just goes into the commercial break at a cliffhanger. It's one of those things, you know, it's a captive audience.
To compare this to a TV show, you know what this kind of makes me think of? Is not like a season break. Like, it doesn't feel kind of big enough or conclusive enough for a season break. But, you know, that, like, it's almost Christmas time, so we're going to be off air for, like a couple of weeks. Or, like, in the AMC shows where they're going to be off for like 2 or 3 months. Like, it feels like the mid-season break point of like, here's something you weren't expecting for the mid-season break. And I mean, in the business thing, even though, you know, there's the annual coming out, Marvel just kind of did another kind of event thingamabobber where it was I'm pretty sure it was at least a couple of, it was longer than normal between when this ended and when the next bit would start up again. So, I mean, maybe that was another reason why they kind of wanted to give... Maybe there was a little bit of that business of like, what? How do we suck viewers back in?
How do we not get our series canceled?
Exactly. You know. But then again, like, all that is just me kind of, you know, postulating. I do not have any insider knowledge. Just to make sure that's very clear to everyone.
Well, definitely, I would like to read the next one. I actually haven't... Once I finished reading this, I went online to search for the next issue. Like, I actually keyed in Ant-Man issue 6, and I was like, what? There's no issue 6. No, I'm a very noob.
I think the new series is Astonishing Ant-Man. I should have looked that up, but it's coming out. There, I know issue 1 is out. I'm not sure if issue 2 is out yet. But just some other stuff to read, because I think, you know, I know I mentioned Superior Foes. This also kind of reminded me with the kind of cast of characters of there was a She-Hulk series.
Right, I've heard of that.
And the one I'm thinking of was by Dan Slott, and it kind of dealt with her going to work at a law firm.
Okay.
Well, actually, you know, there's another recent one by Charles Soule, which is also about She-Hulk working in her own law firm, which was also really great. But something about this feels more akin to the Dan Slott one, kind of maybe because more the cast of characters, and it is a bit more like, here's some B people, you know, some B-list people. But yeah, if you either, but definitely I think either the more recent Charles Soule run, which was like 12 issues, or the Dan Slott run. Okay. The Charles Soule's good throughout. The Dan Slott, I think it starts off really strong, and somewhere around it had some numbers issues that it, you know, it all, I think it got canceled twice, but brought back by fans of the comic twice as well.
Okay.
So as I'm just throwing out names and blah.
Okay, I just pulled it up on the internet, and I'm going to bookmark it.
Excellent. And okay. I think listeners of the show, if you enjoyed Ant-Man, you'd probably enjoy those as well. Yes. So any final comments about this Ant-Man?
Definitely worth a read. If you enjoy a good story, not just, you know, comics, it's a really good read. Very funny. Excellent. And very real.
And it's got heart. It's got heart, too. And sometimes in comics, you can find action and adventure and darings do, but finding something that still has that nice little, you know, juicy center of heart can be a little harder. So, Lydia, where can folk find you on the web?
Oh, you can find me on YouTube. It's like we rehearsed this. No, we didn't.
we should have.
Yes, we did. But we did it once. You can find me on YouTube, youtube.com/QuekChannel. That's QUEK channel. And I have I have a presence on Facebook as well. Please find me.
Don't knock over the mic during recording. Oh no.
Oh dear. Okay. Hello, can you hear me? Okay.
Hijinks are ensuing. And I'm Brent. You can find me on this podcast on deadlytroubadour.com, which is where I do reviews and writing and short stories. I got another podcast where I read my fantasy novel called Reading Deadly Troubadours. And if you want to hear me and some other friends talk about Japan, go look for Living Japan. And I've been doing my best to get more active on Twitter. Do you do the Twitter?
Yes, I do the Twitter. I do Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook, and Instagram. All Quick Channel, like YouTube.
Excellent. I only do the Twitters, but if you look for Dead Troubadour, which, because Deadly was too many, Deadly Troubadour was too many letters.
Right.
I didn't want to have, like, Deadly Trub.
I'm looking for you right now. Twitter is a fun place. Everybody, go follow Brent.
Yay! It's, you know, mostly me kind of forgetting to post things and then being like, hey, look, it's stuff. I need to post more baby pictures. That's what I need to do. More baby pictures. Everyone loves baby pictures.
Everybody does.
Well, thank you for talking with me, Lydia, and thank y'all for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Oh.